During these final 2 weeks of our church, our liturgical year with the Feast of Christ the King, 1 week from today, next Sunday, and the first Sunday of Advent already 2 weeks from today, our focus, both in our readings and also the overall feel of Mass, the overall feel of our liturgy the next few weeks, takes a noticeable shift. The readings, the feel of Mass the next couple weeks as we prepare for the end of this liturgical year takes a noticeable shift. So what's going to be our focus the next few weeks as you listen closely to our readings? In many ways, it's simple. We're given a certain call as Christians to be especially attentive, especially vigilant, especially alert, especially awake. But that begs the question, alert and vigilant and attentive and awake to what? I want to propose two main realities that our scriptures invite us to be attentive to. The first one is very simple. For us all to simply be paying attention to what God is trying to do in our lives right now. Today, if I were to ask you as you leave Mass, what's God doing in your life right now? What is God laboring to do in your soul right now? What is it? Is he trying to heal something? Is he trying to strengthen you somewhere? Give you courage? Give you freedom? What is it? So the first reality, it seems, that Christ is calling us to be attentive to is that fact. What is God trying to do in your life and mine right now, today? If we can answer that, then we're heeding the call. Then we're being attentive. Then we're being alert. Then we're being vigilant. But the second reality that God seems to be trying to do in these readings during these last few weeks, these next few weeks, I should say, is trying to help us understand what Jesus is getting at in these various parables about judgment. Because judgment, of course, is something that all makes us a bit nervous. Our guts get a bit tight. We start to dismiss Jesus' words and say, he didn't really mean that. He means something different. But it seems that if we can grow in some attentiveness, right, to what Jesus is trying to do in us regarding this reality of judgment that he keeps talking about, even in today's gospel, then we're on the right track. Now, today's gospel, right, we all know it pretty well. We've heard it many, many times. It's very simple. A man who represents God gives his possessions to his servants. Who are his servants? Us. That this parable is very simple. It's about God giving to us, his servants, his possessions. And what are the possessions that he gives to us? Jesus uses this parable from his time talking about talents. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to a third 1. Now I gotta be honest, when I was growing up, whenever I would hear this talk about talents, I didn't have a missal in front of me like many of you do during the reading. And of course I've heard talent and I thought, some skill, some athletic ability, some musical gift, some academic ability, some leadership skill. He's talking about if you've been given a lot of skills, a lot is expected from you. If you've been given a lot of talents, a lot is expected from you. So for guys like me who aren't given much, not a lot's expected from me. That's what I thought. And then I realized, no, that's too simple. Usually in Jesus' parables, they're a bit deeper. So then I thought it was talent with no T on the end, like a talent of a falcon. But that also doesn't make any sense. So what are these so-called talents? It's not just a skill, and it's certainly not some sharp thing on a bird's foot. So what is it? It's very simple. It's a significant amount of wealth meant to be used in commercial trading. That is a certain amount of wealth that's given to someone for one purpose, to be traded in commerce. That's what a talent was in Jesus' time. So this fellow who was given the 5 talents was doing the very thing that talents were given to him to do, to be traded, to be given away, to be grown. The guy who was given 2, the same thing. They were meant to be traded. They were meant to be given away. They were meant to grow. And the guy who was given this 1 did the very thing he was not supposed to do. Bury it out of fear of his master. 5, 2, and 1. The 5 are doubled, the 2 are doubled, and the 1 is taken away and given to the guy who now has 10. That's essentially this gospel. Now, what is Jesus trying to make known to us in all this? It seems to be this reality, that Jesus desires and intends for his servants to allow this gift of his to grow and to increase and to multiply. Let me say that again. Jesus clearly intends and desires for his great gift to his servants to grow and to increase and to multiply. So what is the gift he's given to us? Is it simply our life? Is it our family? Is our personal skill set? Is it our financial well-being? Is it our health? What is the great gift that he's given to us that he wants to grow and to increase and to multiply? One thing, his divine life in us. The thing that Jesus is constantly striving and laboring and pouring forth his grace to increase within us is his own divine life that we've been given, that each of us has dwelling within us. That God didn't just give himself to us in some kind of static, sterile way. He wants his divine life to be life-giving within us. In many ways, everyone, the great challenges in Christianity and the church today are not just hot-button issues. They're not. The great challenge in the church today, it seems to me, is this. We don't think God lives in us. We don't believe in baptism. What I mean by that is if we really believed what we profess about baptism, we would never mope. If we really believed what we believe about baptism, we would never feel alone. If we really believed what we actually profess about baptism, we would constantly be deeply aware of his presence in us. And yet we're not, because we mope and we feel alone because we don't believe in baptism. I think that's true. Read sometime what the church professes about baptism. Read sometime what Jesus says about baptism. And if we actually believed what he says, we would be filled with tremendous consolation all the time. God wants to increase within us his great gift. And his great gift is his own life. And if you're baptized, you got it in spades, and so do I. The question now is this: how are we allowing that gift in us to multiply? How are we allowing that gift in us to grow? How are we allowing that gift in us to increase? It comes through the sacraments, comes through prayer, comes through spiritual reading, comes through acts of sacrifice and love. if we don't take care of the gift, it don't grow. But if we feed the gift and nourish the gift and receive the sacraments and pray and do spiritual reading and do acts of mercy, then this divine life within us can only do one thing. It can only grow. May we allow ourselves to open ourselves up to the tremendous grace of allowing His divine life within us to not just be stagnant, but to thrive.